Hey, what is up? You are listening to Cosmic Fury SG. I'm One, and it has been a while since I did a quick impressions or any review on any comics that I've read so far. So with that being said, I thought I wanted to get back in and find what's new. So browsing around some indie titles, so I found this series called Ronin Island from Boom Studios, written by Greg Pak and artist illustrator drawings done by this Giannis Milano Giannis. Quite a unique name for, because the name Giannis is repeated twice, so full name is like Giannis space Milano Giannis. So yeah, anyway, so what is Ronin Island? So let me read out some info that's already out there. So Ronin Island, a mysterious attack wipes out the major cities of 19th century Japan, Korea and China. Survivors from all three islands find refuge on an island or hidden island and build a new society. Hannah, the orphan daughter of a Korean peasant, and Kenichi, son of a great samurai leader, have little in common except for mutual disdain for one another. But these young warriors will have to work together when an army invades the island with shocking news. There is a new shogun, and the island is expected to pay fealty in exchange for protection from a new enemy, a mutated horde that threatens to wipe out all humanity. So that's a little snippets of what exactly Ronin Island is. So I have read issue number one, and my impressions on it is, before I actually go anything or beyond this, I just want to say there will be spoilers, because I want to just like express how I feel about the Ronin Island series so far, because I only like read one issue, so spoiler alert. But if you're cool with it, then let's continue. So what are my impressions on Ronin Island? So basically Ronin Island starting off the first few pages, it does feel quite lighthearted. It took me a while to realize that, because I read the issue without actually reading any background story on it, so it took me a while to realize that this island was filled with quite a number of refugees, a hidden island that's filled with survivors from Japan, China and Korea. So 19th century, you know, that's when the age of a samurai and all that, warlords and shoguns, so that's like 19th century. So basically there was this phase or time period where this people went through an event called the Great Wind. So every time when the word the Great Wind pops up, usually the speech bubbles will be quite bold, so it's prominent, like it's a very important event that happens within the series. But they never really explain what exactly the Great Wind is. So with me reading through issue number one without knowing any form of backstory, so this hidden island has its own tradition, a very short history in their time. So they have this tradition that goes on, and basically they have their young ones go through this trial, and this trial focuses on these two youngsters, Kenichi and Hana. Hana being the Korean orphan, and Kenichi basically is like his dad is no longer around, but his dad is like the prominent figure on that island, because he used to be one of those like co-founders and protectors of the island. So with him, with Kenichi taking over the trials, like being in the trials, like so-called a rite of passage for him, and sort of like carrying on the honor and taking over his father's place. His mom, Kenichi's mom, is really proud of his son, and Kenichi initially wanted to go through the trials just like going there just basic with a sword and just like normal clothes, but the mom gave him the exact same armor that his dad wore during his time, basically full samurai armor. Like, so basically this trial, this traditional trial that they went through, is basically, I would say, Iron Man challenge, if that's like of a better term. It's an Iron Man challenge. Basically they have to run through a certain length of passage, and then they have to hop on a boat and have to row through and fro. Basically it's just a mellowed down version of a Iron Man challenge. So after they're done with their Iron Man challenge, their traditional challenge, suddenly this they were met by this general. Was it commander or general? I think it's a General Sato. Yeah, and he's carrying this sigil or seal of a shogun who has been dead for about 30 years. So the thing is, how the story develops is that when this general arrives on the island, he kind of like sends a fire signal arrows to the island. So that's like the indication like they are coming, and from far the island people obviously saw what's going on and who's coming. And for Hana, she has a master. I can't remember what's the master's name. So basically the master is a former Japanese samurai, and they have binoculars, just so happens they have binoculars. And the master, I think it's Master Ito, so the master uses the binoculars and saw the traditional seal of the shogun, and he was the one who actually mentioned that that seal is being carried by a shogun that's supposed to be dead for 30 years. And then suddenly this general arrives and like say to them like, hey, we are here, and in order to have a peaceful time and for us to protect you, you have to pay us fealty. It's like you know those like loan sharks or gangster moments where, you know, like if you want protection you have to pay us money, that kind of situation. So they were basically in that situation. So this general demanded fealty from the islanders, that if you were to pay us, we will protect you. And he was trying to emphasize like the protection part, and it took a while for the story to develop exactly what the general was emphasizing, like he wanted to protect them from. And basically the islanders, they're quite reluctant for suddenly an outsider coming into the island and offering protection and all that. So basically later in the story this escalated really quickly. Like basically the general was trying to emphasize on the coming dangers from the mainland Japan, and suddenly this if you were paying attention to the excerpts early on that I read from this incoming invasion of hordes, so basically the protection that they wanted to protect the islanders from is, I don't know what to call them. They look like I forget the word that they use in the series, like Byujin, I think that's the word. Like they are to me, they look like a crossover between Doomsday from DC Comics and zombies. Like, yeah, so basically the enemies within this story is a monster mix of the undead zombies, and they look like Doomsdays because they have rocks protruding out of their bodies, which I am like, haha, okay. So I don't know how exactly they're gonna fight these enemies, because the only thing they have are swords and cannons. I don't know what other weapons they have. And so basically, and I think the most badass part is during the last page, is where the islanders have an elder called Elder Jin, this lady, refugee from China, and suddenly she just like, it's not really a war cry, but she tells the two youngsters, Kenichi and Hannah, that like parting wise words during their trials, their Iron Man trials, is that they need to learn when to fight and all that. So suddenly she whips out this like war cry, like everybody band together, including General Sato in his full samurai gear, to like gather up arms in arms and fight towards the new emerging enemy. So I guess that's my quick impression on this. Like the story is pretty fast for that first issue. It's like they don't really emphasize much, they're pretty vague on what exactly is the Great Wind event. All you know is that it took a while to tell you that they're an island of refugees from China, Japan, and Korea, and basically suddenly this horde of monsters just appear out of nowhere and coming to, I don't know, probably like spread their monsterisms everywhere across Japan, 19th century. So I guess like I'm kind of like into it, because like me and the rest of like like Fias is also into that Korean Netflix series about the zombies and all that, Kingdom. We covered that in another podcast. So seeing this title, I guess I can get into it quite well, because it is something that I've witnessed before on Netflix. So I guess I'll be looking forward to reading the next issue number 2. Alright, so right now I'm gonna focus on other parts, like the artwork. I already laid down the so-called snippets. Well, basically I told the entire story of issue number 1. So like I said early on, spoilers. So right now I'm gonna focus on talking about the artwork. Alright, the artwork, I would say it is quite light-hearted, quite cartoony, but the story does complement the artwork quite okay. Like I'm the type of guy, like if the story is done well, artwork is secondary, but in first impressions go, the vibe of it is quite light-hearted. Yeah, cartoony is also another word I would use. And color wise, it's all right. It shows a little bit of I wouldn't say dread, but it's a little bit plain. I think that's the word I would use. And pacing wise, definitely issue number 1 is a very quick read. I can foresee that Ronin Island doesn't really make you think so much. It's not a mystery kind of a title. I do feel it's like a rite of passage for the youngsters. I really don't know what's gonna happen to the rest of the islanders. Seeing what kind of monsters are in this series, they look like they're really hard to kill. because especially that there's like one monster that's still a sword sticking in his back, and but so yeah, like I'm guessing it's more of a rite of a passage for the youngsters to see how they develop as people and as characters. Pacing wise, yeah, like I said, like it's issue number one, I kind of like breeze through quite fast, so I don't think I have any problems binging the rest of the issues. We'll see in issue number two, hopefully I can cover and not be disrupted by anything else. And what else? Pretty much all that's all I'm gonna that's all I'm gonna say on this quick impressions, I guess. Quick impressions plus spoiler filled review. But anyway, fans of Great Pack, he has written some awesome series. Like he's if you're a fan of his writing, I guess this is something on the side you can fill up your time with. So anyway, for Singapore, I guess it's a indie release, and you can actually acquire it on local comic shops. So yeah, like give it a try. I think it's a quick read. If you don't like it, it's fine. But if you're into 19th century like humans versus monsters, samurai kind of a thing, like if you like Kingdom series from Netflix, I think you can give this one a try. So yeah, pretty much that's it. So I'm One from Cosmic Fury SG, signing off.